Shogger, how you doing?
Solid today, my friend. How are you? It's a beautiful day. Like oh, summer nice. Right from this morning, right through the day, summertime. Love it.
That is, it's quite good. Really good. So, let's get to it. The Edmonton Orders, hey, I'm not sure there's much you can take away from that game other than they won. But, hey, sure. Dominic Cahoon scores a goal. You know, kind of jokes. Hey, I didn't think I'd get out there in overtime. And, you know, Dave Tippett, I think can put to rest anybody's concern about resting. McDavid played 15 minutes in that game last night. Like, that's, you're not going to get many fewer minutes than McDavid. I'm pretty sure he can handle 15.
Yeah, well, the question is about the week between games. That's the main thing. And I think it's a little bit too much for them to rest him Saturday and then have him play Wednesday when it's a full week between games and expect that he's just going to hit the ground running and continue playing the best, most offensive hockey of his life. If you want to keep him in the rhythm, your best chance is probably to just have him go through his routine, get him in the game, play him just a little bit, let the power play feel it a little bit, but once again, keep rolling with some other guys. And the other thing, too, that I think there's value in is you have him in the lineup, and you know, he's got a chance if you move him around a little bit. There's a better chance that good things will happen for Cahoon, and a better chance good things will happen for Yamamoto if Draisaitl's in the lineup. And you want to use these games not to tire anybody out, but if you can rev a few guys up and let them feel it a little bit, then that's a positive too. And McDavid and Draisaitl help that. So by having Draisaitl in the lineup, look what it did for Cahoon. And that's part of it too, is getting the secondary scorers going.
Oh, for sure it is. Who do you if he's healthy, is it Russell or Jones who's playing in that third pair with Ethan Bear?
I'm not sure if you just chuck Russell into a game all of a sudden right now. You know, I'm not sure. Like, I know we were talking about this the other day, and you made a good point. Like, he knows the league. You know what you can expect from him and all of those things. Now, Jones didn't help his cause. I mean, he made a tough mistake in the game, you know, against the Montreal team that was roster was riddled with, you know, guys that aren't necessarily regulars. He hasn't been good enough to make it a no-doubter. And that's maybe one of the things with Caleb Jones. It's just, it's a season that in a lot of ways has been about missed opportunities. So he missed an opportunity at the beginning of the year to be a top four defenseman. Then he missed the opportunity to be in the lineup every night, which he should have been this year. And now he's really had the opportunity to solidify himself as the starting, whatever, 2B or 3A pairing guy on the left side, and he just hasn't. So he hasn't really grabbed any of the opportunity that's been placed in front of him. And for those who felt he was the second pairing guy, that if only they would give him a chance, no, that hasn't been his year. So it's been about missed opportunity. I think they probably go with him. I think he's a bit more dynamic on his feet and moving the puck, and I think that's going to matter. So I think you just roll with it. But he needs to start building that confidence and make this no doubt. And he just hasn't been able to do that this year.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, the schedule came out today for the playoffs, and yep. The North Division will have back-to-back games in games 3 and 4. So for the Orders, it'll be Sunday and Monday in Winnipeg. It's the same for both teams. I'm assuming Hellebuck's playing both. Are you playing Mike Smith in both?
I don't think so. No, I mean, really? It will entirely depend on where the series is at. You know, if they're ahead.
Okay, what would make you not play him?
What would make me not play him? All right, so you've got Sunday and Monday after playing Wednesday and Friday. So you play him Wednesday, you play him Friday, and then you probably play him Sunday. So you play him the first three games of the series, and if you're down 2-1, you probably go with him. Right? If you're in front, then you probably play the other guy and rest him and not risk the injury. I don't know. Just it depends on how he's playing, and it depends on where the series is at. But I don't think you can sit here right now and make a proclamation. This is what they should do no matter what. You know what I mean? And we don't have game times either yet, too, which it'll be 24 hours between games, I'm sure. But
oh, well,
but that
yeah.
matters as well. So I don't know. I just don't think you can make that call right now. you know, and especially because it's not like he's gone wire to wire completely healthy this year. He's had stuff that's been nipping at him a little bit. So I just don't know if you chance it. You think they should? Just no matter what, just play him?
The only way I'm playing Koskinen in game four is if Smith struggles in the first three games or the Oilers are up 3-0.
Really?
And even actually, you know, and even if they're up 3-0, I still might play Smith because I don't want to give Winnipeg any life, and I finish it, and then Smith can have tons of time off.
Yeah.
Mikko Koskinen, I look at his play, and he can play consistent for a long time. He could just have that back-breaking goal, and that, you know, that just, I don't know, concerns me. Especially because there's no disadvantage of playing Smith back-to-back or Hellebuck. Well, you know, it's the same for everybody. There's no travel involved. You know, the hours between games are the exact same for the Jets as they are for the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, Mike Smith is, he's always been incredible peak physical condition. He's always been that way his entire career. So I don't see Smith suddenly getting fatigued because he has to play back-to-back.
Well, but we don't know how he feels after a game, right? Like, we don't know. After a busy night where he's had to make 29 saves, a couple of them pretty acrobatic, we don't know what his recovery time is like. And the other thing, the reason these guys are such highly trained athletes is because they can recover quickly. But that doesn't mean, and it's impressive that they do it, but it doesn't mean they're not banged up after they've played. So he will have played three games in, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So he'll have played, you know, three games in a few days here, and that's going to take its toll. So I think you just need to be careful and remember that, you know, he is the age that he is. He's not a 26-year-old goalie anymore. I watched him at practice try and make a routine save and go limping off the ice, and we got video of it. It was clearly a lower body issue. Afterwards, Dave Tippett said he tweaked something. So this guy hasn't been healthy 100% all year. He's played through stuff, and he's, you know, and there's a reason why goalies generally don't play back-to-backs that often. So, I don't know, man. We'll ask Tippett we'll ask him for the next week, and he won't give us an answer. But, you know, we will find out on Monday. But my guess is if the Oilers are ahead in the series, they have always said that they're going to need two goaltenders. My guess is they're going to need both goalies if they're going to go, you know, if they want to go a few rounds here. I don't think Mike Smith's going to necessarily be able to carry that load completely on his own. They're going to need both guys, and you got to hold your breath and go for it and have your team rally around him and hope he can give you a good start, you know?
Reiner Schalk from TSN. I think the top two lines are going to go as we've seen. The bottom one's the same. You know, Zach Kassian's really the only wild card, I would think, to slot in there. Did you see anything from Kyle Turris last night? I know it's a hard game. Like, if you had to pick, and let's say Cahoon, you know, somebody gets injured, do you want Ennis or Turris? Who would you take?
I would probably take Ennis. I mean, I think Ennis, you can move him around a little bit more. I think the feet are better. So I would say that it would be Ennis between the two, although they, you know, they chose to put Turris in here, but he's more natural for that side. So I think it would be Ennis. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, to me, it wouldn't be close. It would be yeah. It would be Ennis all day long. Kyle Turris, you know, I get he's a right winger. I don't care. I would you have Archibald, you have Kassian, you have Puljujärvi, you have Yamamoto. So, you know, you have your right wingers. So you could fit one of them in if a right winger gets hurt. Because I think Archibald, when everybody's healthy, Archibald might be on the left side. So Kassian can come in on the right side, right? And
yeah.
Devin Shore might come out. I could see that for sure. So, you know, now I could see Dave Tippett possibly changing a player in his back-to-back games, maybe more than the goalie,
yeah.
Just because he feels like, hey, maybe this guy's a little bit more juice. You know, it's
yeah.
going to be a fascinating thing to watch how the Oilers play, but I'll say it right now. Like, the Edmonton Oilers, since April 1st, they are tied for the best points percentage in the NHL,
yeah.
along with Vegas and Colorado.
Oh, they've been so good, man. They've been so good.
And, like, they've been very good, and the Winnipeg Jets have struggled mightily. Like,
yeah.
I see Edmonton as quite a big favorite, actually, going into this series, the way the Jets are playing
yeah.
right now, and the way Edmonton matches up against them.
Yeah. Well, there is something that I'm going to be watching with great interest, though. Playoffs start And all of a sudden it gets a little bit faster, and all of a sudden it gets a little more difficult to play out there. And the teams that have success in the playoffs, they do things a certain way, shift after shift after shift after shift after shift. And that involves throwing body checks. That's the way playoff hockey is played. It's not about running guys through the boards or anything like that, but it's about understanding that a good shift is, you know, finishing checks, taking guys out and finishing checks. The Oilers have some players in their lineup, and in particular in the bottom part of their lineup, that don't feel it's something they need to do and haven't made a point of doing it at all. And I wonder how that will translate into the playoffs. You know, like Ryan McLeod has been good, but do you know how many hits he's thrown in 10 games? Three. That is a good shift in the playoffs. You can't be a bottom six forward on a team that's going to go anywhere and go entire games without throwing hits. You can't. So, while there's a lot of good things that are happening, this is about to change, and the style of play is about to change. So which way are these players going to go? You know, Dominic Cahoon has played 47 games and has 13 hits. I know it's not the best-kept stat. I get it. But that is a trend. That says something about the way you're thinking shift to shift, and that thinking doesn't work in the playoffs. So there are a few guys here that are going to have a real adjustment coming for the way playoff hockey needs to look and feel, and that's one thing I'm watching with great interest to see if a player like McLeod, who he doesn't need to go out there and be burying guys shift after shift after shift. You have to finish your checks in the playoffs, and he doesn't do it. Neither does Cahoon. And the problem is the next guys up for the Oilers don't either. Haas doesn't really. Nygaard never does. He has two hits in eight games. They got a bunch of guys that don't feel it needs to be part of what they're doing out there, and that's not going to work in the postseason. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I wrote an article today at OilersNation.com. I think it just came up talking about physicality, and because there's, you know, there was some online, some people who always made the suggestion that if you're hitting, if you have too many hits, that means you don't have the puck. And I've always been like, man, I don't really think I agree with that. And so I've been tracking this and looking, and sure enough, this year, when you look at teams who are top 10 in the NHL in hits, seven of them are in the playoffs, and six of them are top 10 in possession numbers as well, right? So there's not a correlation. And also, though, the other thing is, on average, we're seeing, teams in the regular season the last 5 years will average around 21 to 22 hits a game. In the playoffs, it goes up to 33 to 36 per game. And some games, obviously, it's even higher. So
right.
It's an interesting thing to see. Yeah, it's everybody does it. Like, everybody increases. And, you got to finish your checks because you're hoping to wear guys down, right? It doesn't mean you don't have possession. It's just every little contact you feel that maybe, you know, that might, somebody all of a sudden hears footsteps later in a game. That's why you do it. And the intensity is ratcheted up.
Yeah, about being a fast player who finishes checks, right? People say, well, if you're throwing too many hits, you don't have the puck enough. No, throwing hits is a way to try and elicit turnovers and get the puck back. If you're just constantly hitting and constantly finishing checks, you're going to get defensemen who they know that they don't have that extra second, and they're going to make a play that maybe isn't as good. That's going to give your winger the split second he needs to get a stick in there, and now you've turned the puck over. It has to be part of what you're doing. And those numbers you just cited are really interesting because they back up what my gut instinct is. And I've covered the Stanley Cup final most years for the last 17, 18 years. This is just the way the game is played when you get to this level. It's just you have to go over the boards with the intention of going out there and being physical. Because the elite teams that are going to win the Cup this year, they sure as hell are. Like Vegas, they're coming for you physically. You know, Boston will do the same thing. They will. I don't know what their regular season numbers are. I guarantee you they'll do it in the playoffs because their leaders and their players that have been there and done it, they know that's the way hockey needs to be played. So, you know, whether it's McLeod, who's thrown three hits in 10 games, or Cahoon, or these Oiler forwards, man, they're going to have to lean into this part of the game because if they pull away from it, they'll get buried in their matchups with the other team's bottom sixes. And the Oilers cannot have that. Adam Lowry's coming at you. That is a big, strong, tough third-line center who isn't the fastest, but he finishes his checks. His line mates do, too. You better be ready to go out and play that style of game as well, because if you lean away from that and think it's not something you need to do, you're losing your matchup.
I can't wait for the playoffs, man. It's so fun.
We're going to learn a lot about guys. We're going to learn a lot about guys that we've been watching for a long time. We're going to learn a lot that we should have learned last year in the Chicago play-in, but didn't.
No, that was a no-hitter.
We're going to learn a lot about it, because I think it will be real playoff hockey this time around, not that disaster that we saw last time.
Awesome. Thanks, Shager. Have a good one.
Okay, pal.